Romans 1 is where we'll start. So if you have a Bible, we'll go there. We're going to look at practical applications to the renewed mind. Once again, God ruined my teaching by teaching it all in manifestations. So if you were listening, you can sleep now. He pretty much laid it all out there. But he did give us a written word to take a look at. So we start in Romans 1:1. And we're dealing with Paul, who happens to be a servant of Jesus Christ, which I suppose if you're going to be known for anything throughout history, that's a pretty good thing. Mm-hmm. Paul, the doulos of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good to be known as that. All right. Called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now, this tells us that the book of Romans deals with Jesus Christ our Lord, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans deal with what God had done for mankind then through Jesus Christ. So you want to know what God's accomplished on behalf of mankind, read the first 8 chapters. Then chapters 9 through 11 deal with God choosing to have mercy on both Judeans and Gentiles and Hawaiians. So,
hallelujah.
Absolutely. So that's 9 through 11. It deals with God choosing to have mercy on everybody. Didn't matter what your background was. So, and then, so he's dealing with God choosing to have mercy on both Judeans and Gentiles after those chapters deal with after what Jesus Christ accomplished. And then he tells them how to receive what God's made available to them by Jesus Christ. So what shock is it that Romans 10, 9, and 10 happens to be in those 3 chapters, right in the middle of it? So it's what Jesus Christ accomplished and how to receive that. And then we go to chapter 12, which we'll read a couple verses here, because this starts the rest of the book of Romans, and it sets forth the things that ought to be done by free will by those who have received the things from God. So 1 through 8, Jesus Christ accomplished it. 9 through 11, hey, it's available now. Here's what you're to do. And so we'll start in chapter 12, verse 1, and we'll read 2 verses. So these are the things that ought to be done by those who have received the greatness of the things that God has accomplished through Christ for us. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you then, I lovingly implore you, is how it reads, therefore, brethren, by the mercies, by the compassion of God. God is a compassionate God. We like that. We like a compassionate God. We need a compassionate God. So, then we are to present or yield our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, as well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service or your logical divine service. So he's lovingly employing us to do something because of what Christ accomplished. It's available for us. So live it. Live it by being a living sacrifice. Which means then you're no longer in charge of your life. Christ is now. You're living for the body of Christ. You're living for what God wants you to do, which sometimes is different than what we want to do. So we're living sacrifices. And it is a sacrifice because, damn it, I'm going to do it my way. No, you're not. If you really want to have a much better life and a lot more reward and everything else, no, we do it his way. So we're a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing unto God, which is your logical divine service. So be not fashioned to this age. Don't be fashioned to this age. You know something about an age? It comes to an end. The Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Nazis, they all had the... all ended. Christ doesn't. Be not fashioned to this age. Instead, be transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind, so then that you may prove, and this is our goal, we are to prove what is that good and well-pleasing and mature will of God. I hate it when we see mature will of God. That means we have to grow up, you know. I can't blame it on youthful things anymore. We have to be mature in this world, you know, since some of us are bordering on being 30 now. We have to be mature people these days. So there is the goal. There is the purpose. We are to prove what is the good and well-pleasing and mature will of God, which we just learned about in the first 11 chapters. So if you haven't, then go back and read them. So there is God's will. Now it's up to us then to prove it. What is, now prove is dokimazo, and it's like taking the turkey thermometer and sticking it, you know, into the turkey and pulling it out and approving. Is it ready for feast or is it still need time to incubate? So that's, we are to prove it. That's the whole point of proving it. It's to test by examination. So we're examining the turkey to see if it's good to serve. Well, that's how it is. We're to examine God's word and find out that it really is good. It really is well-pleasing. It really is the mature will of God. So we are to live it then. We're not just to talk about it. We're to do something with it by experience. Okay? So this is the responsibility of everyone, to have change happen in their lives or not to change. You got free will. It's up to you individually to change what's been laid out in these chapters of, in Romans, or not to. We can prove the good, well-pleasing, acceptable will of God, or we can just talk about it, or we can let somebody else do it, or we can do whatever we want to do. But if we want to be fashioned from this age and transfigured to the next, we have to renew our mind. You can't have somebody do it for you. Sir, yes, sir, I will change my mind. No, it's free will, up to you. You get to do it if you want. Nobody's going to demand it of you. I'm not going to do it. Fine. You just don't get the benefits. Ah, there are benefits. So let's look at, one more thing. Let's look at the word mind in there. Right? We are to be transfigured or transformed by the renewing of your own mind. You don't tell everybody else how to change their mind without you changing your own. Doesn't work that way. We're to renew our noose. Okay, that's the word for mind, our noose. And incorporated in the mind, really, we deal with the will, the thinking or your thoughts, the emotions. All of that comes out of the mind. We're to renew it, because it affects our health, our sleep, our relationships, our work, the music we produce. You know, all those type of things are produced from the mind. So we're to renew it according to what we read in the New York Times, right?
No.
No, very, I don't. Exactly. Well, yes, you're tracking very well, right. No, to the Word of God. So let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15. Because that is the first point to renewing the mind. What do we renew it to? Well, we are to renew it to the book we're holding, the Book of Enoch. No, the Bible. There's a reason why all those other books didn't make it into the canon of the scriptures, because they're not God-breathed. They're man historically pinning things that... just to fill in gaps and to enhance, you know, how it is when you see a movie based upon a real incident. The real incident's real small.
Yeah.
And then Hollywood's embellished it. So 2 Timothy 2:15, again, a very familiar scripture. We are to renew our minds according to the word of God, which means we need to do what this verse says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're to read the word of truth. And this is the number one point of the practical application to the renewed mind. It's read it and think about it. How about that for a deep concept? Read the Bible and think about it. Now, you only need to do this Sunday mornings. You know, You know, we eat food every day, don't we? Yeah. Does that nourish our bodies? Depending on what kind of food we eat. Well, if we're feeding the Word of God to ourselves, would it behoove us then to daily feed it to ourselves? Yes, it would. Because then our mind needs it. Because then our minds help control our peace, you know, how we work, how our relationships, and all these other things. So having control of your mind, first off, by studying the Word. Look at 3:16. Again, another really deep scripture here. You know, it's one of these things that we know these verses very well. Why? Because they're good scriptures. They're very useful. They're very needful. They're very practical. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all scripture is profitable. I like reading something for profit. Have you ever got done reading something and going, that wasn't profitable at all. I won't get that hour back. You know, or sometimes you watch a show on television, that's what you think about it. What a waste of time. Okay, the Word of God is not. It's profitable for doctrine. And you know, that little next word in there, the word everybody hates, it's profitable for reproof. Reproof. Reproof is a good thing. Maybe not, Hebrews talks about, maybe not when we're going through it, but it's still a good thing in the end because it leads us to correction and then we can do the will of God. So, the Word of God's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness so that you can be perfect. I'm perfect, honey. Well, okay, we know that's not true. Mature. Mature. Okay. We endeavor to do our best that the man of God may be mature. Have his act together half the time, quarter the time. All right. Throughly perfected unto all good works. You're equipped to do whatever the good work is you need to do. Somebody needs to be ministered to and you're out to lunch with them. Then you minister to them and get them healed. That happened a couple days ago, Dad. So that type of, you're always ready to go at all times is the point. Even though you may be out there, you know, out in left field somewhere, wandering around, you can get locked in to do whatever it is God needs you to do like that. Boom, renewing the mind. You just lock into what the Word of God says, and then you allow the Spirit to work within you. Bang. And then you go back to left field. Or wherever you're at. But it's a profitable Word of God. Those are all good. There's an old computer term which Warren's probably really familiar with. Garbage in, garbage out. You remember that? Because we used to put a lot of information in it, which now we can find already in there, garbage-wise, too. So, but that's the whole point. Garbage in, what's going to be coming out of you then? Garbage. Yeah. So that we don't want that. We don't want garbage coming in. We want Word of God coming in. Why? Hebrews 4:12. Again, another familiar scripture. So we don't want garbage in because we don't want garbage coming out and living and ruling our lives. Hebrews 4:12. You guys ever hear of a guy named Mark Wahlberg? Yeah. He did these movies with a teddy bear.
Oh, yeah.
Dead, I know. 1 and 2, which I found to be kind of humorous. But the point is that he's a Christian, and he gets up at 2:30 in the morning, and the first 30 minutes of his day, he spends in prayer. He's in bed by 7:30 at night, but he gets up at 2:30 because it's quiet and peaceful, and he prays for 30 minutes, and then he has a whole the day regimented, which includes playing golf. If he's not, you know, shooting a movie, he plays golf. So, but anyway, he has this thing set down. So he had to make a decision that it's worthwhile to do that, to spend the first half hour of his day getting quiet with God and praying to God about specifics. And it's kind of helped him in his career. All right, let's go to Hebrews 4:12. Again, why is it worth reading? Because Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God that you hold in your hand is living and powerful. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit on the joints and marrow, and as a discerner, it's a critic of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And let me read you verse 13 from the Greek, because this follows in the context. The next verse. And no created being is hidden in his sight. Everything is naked and exposed in the eyes of him with whom is our account. So In other words, the Word of God, it is living and powerfully active. It's living and powerfully active. It's a present tense reality. That's the point that we're after. When you read the Word of God, it's living and it's powerfully active. You may have heard a commercial recently, hey, 5-hour energy drink. When in the afternoon things are getting quiet, hey, time to just make sure your heart beats 1,000, beats a minute. 5-hour energy. I've never had one, praise God. I don't know that one. Okay, let's go to Red Bull instead. Or maybe should we go Monster? No, let's not go to anywhere. How about this? This Word of God is powerfully active. It is living. You want to eat life, living life? Here it is. It will do more for you than Coca-Cola or a lot of these other things that are out there trying to give you a jolt to get you moving through the day. How about something that's powerfully active and living? It's called the Word of God. It's called the Bible. Coming to a bookstore near you. Do you ever look at it that way? I need some health. I need some energy. I need to change what I've been thinking about. Good thing I only have to do it once a week. No, it's powerful. It's living. It's living and powerfully active. It's to the point where it judges between the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What is that? What's the real intention behind this? Land you want to sell me in Florida. Or a bridge in Arizona or something. All right. The Word of God. So we need to feed our mind a living and powerful and active spiritual food. You talk about a superfood. Here it is. It's the superfood food of our day and time. And maybe of all days and time. How about Philippians 4? So one of the things that we can do when it comes to this living and active Word that goes right to the thoughts and intentions of the heart is we can read what this Bible, this Word of God says on specifics for our present need. Do we have a present need? Yes. I get this baby out of me. Yes. That's a very present need. When it's God's will, and sometimes you have to be patient, then you have a 10-pound explosion. Praise God, that one's not every week. Philippians 4:19. Again, another very powerful verse. But my God shall supply all your needs. No, all your need. It's singular. What is your need today? Well, I'm behind in the rent in 2 weeks. Do you need the money today? No, you need it in 2 weeks. Sufficient is the evil of the day. Sufficient is today to deal with. Because maybe Christ will come back before you have to pay rent. Or other or other things, you know. Exactly. So you go to the Word. And if you need to understand things about health, about healing, where can you find it? Well, I go to Concordance. And find the word health or healing or something like that. And then I look at the verses. How about finances? Do you think the Bible has anything to deal with finances? Or grief or marriage conflicts or troubles or children or fantasy football? I had to throw that in there. I had to include that one because football season, religious season, started up again. So, but the Bible has specifics about whatever your need is, and it will help you today to deal with it mentally, physically, spiritually, so you don't destroy the people around you.
Yeah.
2 Peter chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Hebrews, James, Peter. All right. Again, another fascinating, fantastic scripture that we've never read before. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. I'm in 1 Peter. Not quite as fascinating. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God. And through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. Where do we find that? Through a living, active Word of God. according as his divine power has given unto all of us, except people who live in Georgia. No, everybody, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Okay, now, let me read you this again. All things that pertain to life and all things that pertain to godliness, which enhances our life, right, have been given to us through the knowledge of him. Now, let me read you from the Greek, verse 4, the beginning part of it. By these things, the precious and greatest things promised have been given to us. Mm. Isn't that? By these things that we read about in this living word of God, the precious and greatest things promised have been given to us. We already have the most precious things in life, the greatest things in life. They've already been given to us. That's pretty cool. So, yes, it doesn't get any better than this until Christ comes back. Then the bodies catch up with the spirit, which will be good. You know? All right. But we already have them. We can already enjoy this life because it's worth enjoying. God in Christ in you. All right. The second part of this then, if you would go back a page to 1 Peter chapter 5, is then we should talk to God. Let's talk to God about these different things. You know, another novel concept. Read and think the Word of God and then talk to God. You know, we don't have to make an appointment. God is with us. One of the things that, as Michael Jackson, you may have heard of him, got, you know, the ball player. No, not him. But anyway, as he got older, his brothers had to make appointments to spend time with him. You know, his brother's like, wait a minute, you know, you're my younger brother. I got to make an appointment to see you type thing. My oldest brother had a friend who grew up in the same street. He used to play stickball with Tito and the guys way back in the day. But they had to leave because the neighborhood, because they were the last white family on the block. And nobody would come visit them. And if you know that part of Gary, you wouldn't come visit him either. So, but anyway, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. We don't have to make an appointment with God. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care or casting all your concerns upon him, because he likes a good laugh.
No.
Oh, it's bigger than that. It's because he can do something about it. God is concerned about you. Okay, there was a Kevin Costner movie. He's a pitcher throwing a perfect game. Okay, and he's got last inning, and he goes, God, I told you I'd never get you involved in a baseball game because you've got bigger things to deal with. Right, that was his attitude. God cares about your baseball game. God cares about your pick. He cares about your stand. He cares that you got the right drumsticks, you know. He cares about every little aspect of our life, so it's okay to include him in a baseball game. He doesn't really care who wins, but he does care about the individuals involved in it. And that's the point. God does care. Casting, you know how you cast something, right? If I'm fishing, I take it and I go, bink, and it goes 2 feet right into the water. No, casting. Casting. I don't want to keep it, and I don't want to take it back, because we have a habit of doing that. Right? We cast it to God, and then we reel it back in and take it back for ourselves. We don't want to do that. Casting your cares to God. Casting your concerns to God, because he cares. He cares for you and 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 you. All of us. He cares, and he's big enough to do that. And he's big enough to have the answer there to meet your every need. Because he really is God. He really is God. Not the false gods that are all out there. He is really God. So we should cast our care upon him because he cares for us. So we are to be sober. We are to be vigilant because, and this is why things don't always work right. There is an adversary. Because your personal adversary, right? The IRS, oh wait a minute. You can put whatever you want with whatever you're dealing with in there, but the devil is behind it, okay? And he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Who has a trapdoor open? Who has a weakness exposed? What can I do to mess with him today? Oh, I will put as many bad drivers as possible in front of him because I know he's late for work or things like that. So basically, we are then to resist. You know how you resist, right? You resist. You do something. You don't just sit there and mentally think it's going to go away. You resist steadfast in the right way of believing. You know? You resist steadfast in the faith in the right way of believing. Knowing what you believe. Knowing who you've been called to. Knowing the justice, the righteousness, the redemption that you have. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished or experienced by your brethren that are in the world. Oh my God, other people are going through this and they've survived? Some haven't. But other people have experienced it. Why? Because we're all part of the human race. We're all going through humanness. You know, we've been sentenced to being human. And that's tough when you're not supposed to be. So it's been experienced. So cast your care. God's got an out here. And keep moving. Because the devil's trying to do what he can to go, ha, 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 watch this. And you go, no, I'm resisting you. I can deal with this because other people have dealt with it and I have the Word of God. And I have the specific Word of God. So I can talk to God. And you know one of the great ways to talk to God? It's a word called prayer. Look at Luke, another familiar scripture. Prayer, Luke 1. Prayer, talking to God. And again, we don't have to make an appointment. God's around all the time. God is listening. God wants the best for us. And if anybody would have been immune, am I really going to Luke? No, let's go to Mark. That's another verse. Mark 1:35. Matthew, Mark 1:35. If anybody was immune to not having to talk to God, it would have been God himself. Oh, well, maybe since he was the Son of God, he was a man, he needed to talk to God. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up at Mark Wahlberg, getting up about 2:30 in the morning, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, departed into a solitary, a deserted place, and there he could get his head together and talk to God. He prayed. He went where other people weren't so that he could listen to God. Because that's a big part of praying. Instead of casting your cares too, you've got to listen for, you know, I talk to God. Well, you know, if I call somebody and I say, well, I talked to Aaron, does that imply that I did all the talking?
No.
Usually not. not with Aaron, but exactly, but that's my point. Talking implies communication back and forth. It's not all one-sided unless you really make something. Bad or something, or you're one of those people that we're going to deal with here shortly. Practical applications is what we're looking at. Read the Word, think the Word, live the Word, get peaceful with God, talk to God, go to Philippians 4. Jesus Christ had to, and he went to a peaceful place. You know, when you talk to God and you get your answer, sometimes it's not the answer you want. Because, well, will it be the right answer? Yes, you have to tell yourself that one first.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the right thing to do. I don't want to do it. Don't matter. You got the strength to do it. You got the mental capacity to do it. You can do it. I still don't want to do it. You know what you do? Do it anyway. Because it's right. You know, I get a big kick out of it. Because in Jeremiah, the guys went to Jeremiah, we'll do whatever you say. Jeremiah says, okay, I'll check it in with God. You know, 7 days later, he gets the answer from God. And he lays it out to them. They go, oh, you just made that up. We're not going to do that.
Right.
Okay, well, that's not, we don't want to be that with those people. You know, they ended up dying. We don't want to do that. Yeah. They went to Egypt. I don't want to go to Egypt. I've been there. All right, Philippians 4:6. All right, again, be careful or be anxious about everything.
No.
Okay, how about this? It's also the word for distracted. What?
Yeah.
Don't be distracted. Because there are times, I think when Pete, when we did the Jehovah class, Pete pulls out his phone in the middle of it, of his teaching. How many times are we locked into wanting to do something and the phone changes everything? Okay, don't be distracted, it says. Don't be distracted in anything, for anything or anybody. Instead, don't let the distractions stop you from praying, and supplication is specific prayer requests. Remember, if you have a specific need, you go to God to find out where the help is for that need. So, be not distracted. Be not anxious for anything, but instead, prayer and prayer requests with thanksgiving. Let your requests, your petitions, be known unto everybody but God.
No,
take it up with God. He can do something about it. And the end result, I'm going to read you from the Greek, verse 7. And the peace of God, which is more excellent than every way of thinking, will protect your heart and your thinking in Christ Jesus. It's the peace of God, which is more excellent than every way of thinking. You can do it in the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It says, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Okay, that peace does endureth. That's the point. The peace endureth. Okay? And that peace that we can have comes from the Word of God. And the peace of God, which is more excellent than every way of thinking. So are we thinking peaceable thoughts? Are we thinking believing thoughts? Are we thinking God's thoughts? Or are we, I can stop right there for effect. Yes. Okay. All right. So prayer request. That's where we go. Because your personal adversary, who's got a giant dartboard with your picture on it, is trying to stop you from being peaceful and doing everything he can to interfere. So we are to resist steadfastly him, and we do that by prayer requests, thanksgiving, letting your petitions known. Then that peace of God will help us. Finally, then, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think or consider those thoughts. What do we put on in our mind? What are we thinking? How about this? Are we thinking about what we're thinking about? Or are we allowing our mind just to epiluo, there it goes again. Zoom, grab hold of that mind. Are we thinking about what we're thinking about? Are these the things that come out of us? Remember, garbage in, garbage out? Okay, these don't seem to be garbage. So what will be coming out? Good things. Things that are true, honest, honorable, just, lovely, good report, virtue. Those are all good things. Which takes me to the third thing. And we'll go to Proverbs 23. I'm going to read this to you for Lamsus. Because the third practical thing, read the Bible, think about it, specifically go to God, talk to God, pray to God, be actively involved with God, talk things over with God. But in Proverbs 23, I'm going to deal with what kind of company are you keeping? That's the third practical application here. Okay? When I was in college in Indianapolis, I had a buddy whose older brother graduated from the same college. And he would go into the bar and he'd know all the alcoholics by name. Okay. That's the whole point. Have we gotten to the point where we're very comfortable with the wrong crowd and we know them all by name? In other words, we've been hanging out with them so long, they're all very familiar with us as we are familiar with them. Is that where we want to be? No, and so the two of us decided that's probably not a good thing to hang around with that brother any longer. So Proverbs 23, and so what kind of company are you keeping? In other words, you need to be aware of people drain. You know, people drain or place drain. So there are certain people that just drain you. They don't add to your life. They don't pick you up. They don't speak the word. So, you know, it helps to spend time with those who have similar values, similar beliefs, similar interests, similar positivities, similar views. You know, Jesus, you've heard of him, right? He wouldn't spend the night in Jerusalem. He could stay at any hotel he wanted to. But he would rather choose to commute to Bethany and spend time with Mary and Martha and that guy Lazarus. You may have heard of him. Spend time at their household, being comforted, being taken care of, getting a good home-cooked meal, than hanging out in the hotels with the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the pit that Jerusalem was then, like it is today. It still is pretty bad, spiritually. So, Proverbs 23, I'm going to read it to you from Lamza, because it's a little bit clearer. There's a great verse in verse 7, which, as a man thinketh, so is he. That's absolutely a terrible translation. So we're going to read the context of all of that and see what it really is. So we'll start in Proverbs 23, dealing with the context of what kind of company are you keeping? All right. When you sit to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is set before you, that you may not put poison in your mouth. And if you are a man given to excessive appetite, be not desirous of his food, for his bread is the bread of deceit. Do not quarrel with a rich man, but keep away from him wisely. For if you should fix your eye on him, you cannot see him. For he makes for himself wings like an eagle and flies away towards the sky. Do not eat with a hypocrite, neither desire his food. For he is like him that swallows pitch. The word pitch is hair. he likes hair balls. You know, he swallows pitch, he swallows hair. In like manner, you will eat and drink with him, but his heart is not with you. The morsel which you have eaten, you will vomit up, and you will lose your sweet words. Do not speak in the presence of a fool. One translation is a stupid person. Do not speak in the presence of a stupid person. Boy, I don't know how many times best thing to do is keep your mouth shut. Do not speak in the presence of a fool. For he will despise the wisdom of your words. Do not remove the old landmark, nor enter into the field of the fatherless, for their Savior is mighty. He will plead their cause with you. Instead, verse 12, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the word of knowledge. So considering who you spend your time with, I mean, there's certain things in business, you have no choice. You spend time with them, and then you get away as fast as you possibly can. Or you have to go play golf with them or something sometimes. But here's the point of that is that, you know, different people have different reasons for being different, for doing what they're doing. Be aware of what the world is enticing you with, of casting your cares to them and you're following on the coattails of their wealth versus doing things right the way God wants it to be done with all of that. So, we close in 1 Peter chapter 1.
What translation was that you read?
Lamza, from the Aramaic. In fact, I'm going to read you 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, from the Aramaic. It uses different words, but I think it communicates the point very nicely. So 1 Peter 1:13 from the Aramaic translation, we read, gird up the loins of your thinking. It says mind. Actually, that's how it goes in the Hebrew, but in through the Aramaic. Gird up the loins of your thinking and be completely watchful. And that's what being sober means. Being completely watchful. It just doesn't mean you haven't had 10 drinks yet. That's not what it's talking about. Yet's the key word there. Be completely watchful and hope for the joy that will come to you at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And hope for the joy, not grace, but joy is the Aramaic word. And hope for the joy. We have the joy to look forward to at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, thank you for the joy we can have as we look towards your son coming, but each day we can have peace and we can enjoy each day because we know you're a God that takes care of us each day and that we can talk to you all the time. So we're thankful that you're a God who listens, a God who helps, a God who cares, and unfortunately, we're thankful for patience because we need patience at times because certain things aren't available yet. But we know you're a God that will meet every need, and we trust in you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.